Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarn, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
That's a good one there, Kev.
Yeah, that was all right.
That's a good one. All right, who here has the iPhone? Anybody? Anybody with the iPhone?
I'm the weirdo with an Android. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Lauren, do you have an iPhone?
I do have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that your iPhone starts to get slow?
Absolutely. After not just the phones, just about every other device that gets old.
Right. The Apple devices, right?
Yes.
Yes. They go through an update or there's a new product that comes out and all of a sudden your old product's like, this isn't working as well. I wonder if the new update is just designed for the new product and it won't support the old product and what in the hell's going on? Well, turns out now that Apple has been forced to pay $500 million to settle a lawsuit over the slowdown. Aha! I knew it!
But how do you prove it?
They did. They didn't have to.
Well, I mean, how do you prove that you deserve part of this compensation?
Well, Andy Anatko from CNET is going to be here. Tech contributor to Boston Public Radio and beloved tech writer. I said CNET, but it's not. It's Andy Anatko. We love Andy, and we read him right here in the newspaper here in Chicago. Andy, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. Actually, I haven't been with the Sun Times for about a year, but part of me is still there in Chicago.
Oh, I hadn't noticed, but you didn't have to bring that up. But okay, go ahead. So I want to answer Lauren's question, which is, how do we get in on this?
Well, first of all, yeah, it was a $500 million settlement. It was with the European Union, however, so it's probably not going to. You're going to probably have to get a new passport in order to make it work.
Damn it! Well, can we do it here in the United States? Can we start suing them? Because that's what they're doing, right? I mean, they're throttling us down.
Well, that's what they were doing. Now, here's this. It's actually pretty interesting. This is a classic story of Apple wanting to deliver the best experience for its consumers, quote unquote, but sometimes not really thinking about what the consumers would like. So, if you have here's the problem. If you've got an old phone and your battery needs to be replaced, it's just like starting to die on you. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's the iPhone has a built-in system that monitors the battery to tell you that, okay, you know what, you've only got about an hour's worth of battery life left, so whatever you're doing, wrap it up. But when you've got a really old battery in there, it dies like really quickly. The system doesn't really work that way. You'll just sort of like completely lose your connection completely to just black screen, everything. So what Apple tried to do is to say that it's because these phones that were supposed to be lasting, let's say, 15 hours on battery are only lasting 8 hours. What if we throttle down the processor? We'll slow it down, but the user will still get close to whatever they're expecting for battery life. Okay, that's nice, but the problem was they weren't telling the users that they were doing that, and they weren't giving the users the opportunity to say, well, actually, no, I would much rather you run this phone at maximum speed. So they got caught doing that. It got to be a big, fool for all. So in addition to this this fine they're supposed to be paying, they also put in a new option in the system settings that say that, hey, if you want, we can slow down the CPU to extend your battery life if you've got problems. But if you don't want that, we won't do that. So it wasn't a case of them trying to trick you into buying a new phone early.
All right, Andy Anatko, tech writer. I'm confused. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So they're arguing that this is about the battery. This isn't about a planned obsolescence of your iPhone because they've got new iPhones coming out and they want to convert you. And maybe you're two or three generations behind and you're figuring, well, it's slowing down. Everybody else is faster. You get speed envy and then you decide that you got to go do that. It's not that.
No, not at all. The other problem is that obviously the new features they put into the new operating system, they're designed specifically to run with the iPhone 11. But if you're running it on an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 7, it really is not going to perform as well as these new phones can. And Apple they're not slowing down your phone in that case, but they don't really care that you're going to have a less great experience with an older phone.
Because they want you to upgrade.
They figure that you're going to drop in the toilet anyway, so you may as well do it sooner rather than later.
That is probably true. At least the new phone has a better screen, right? If you drop it, it doesn't crack into a million little pieces.
yeah, that's one thing that they're always working on. They always get better cover glass. Also, the water resistance is much, much better. I think a lot of people are under the misapprehension that just because they say, hey, it's got water resistance down to 3 feet, they think they can take pictures of their kids swimming in pools underwater. Please don't do that, because they're not waterproof phones. But they're saying that if you happen to, like, accidentally drop it in the pool and then you grab it and take it back out again, there's a much greater chance that you haven't just made an $800 mistake.
That's very interesting. So that's the 11, though, the iPhone 11, is you can drop it in the water.
Yeah, that's been true for the past two or three generations, I think, since the iPhone 8. I could be wrong, but definitely the iPhone 11, definitely the iPhone 10.
Well, I did.
The problem is,
I accidentally washed my AirPods. That was bad.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of came back. One of them kind of came back, and the other one was waterlogged, and then it eventually came back, and then it went away. So
yeah, that's the problem with it. You think that you got away with it, but then, like, after 3-4 days, suddenly it just dies. Yeah,
totally. All right, let's talk about the iteration here, the next iteration for Apple. What are you anticipating is going to occur after the 11? Was it a hit? Was it not a hit? I know I've got a friend who's going out and buying an 11 today because she thinks it's going to change her world. And I will it?
I think that if she skipped the iPhone 10, she'd made a good choice, because I thought that the iPhone 11 really put together a lot of the things that Apple has been trying to figure out with the iPhone 10 over the past couple of different generations, and they put it in a package that costs a lot less. It's a lot more mature. I think the fact of the matter is almost no matter what phone you have, if you wait 2 or 3 years, you're bound to notice a lot of improvements. Speed, obviously, is going to be a huge improvement. Cameras, particularly on an iPhone, it's not that they're doing great stuff, because they're not just trying to, hey, look, if we magnify this picture 100 times, you can sort of see that maybe there's more detail. No, now they're moving into directions where all of these situations in which you wouldn't even bother trying to take a picture because you know that, okay, it's a dark bar, there's a lot of red, there's just no point even trying. No, go ahead and take that picture, because it's going to be a great picture anyway.
Oh.
So, yeah, the future directions are going to be interesting. I think that they're kind of moving in two directions at once. They're realizing that they need to have more affordable iPhones out there. They're always going to be finding a way to charge $1,000 for the latest and greatest, but they're also going to try to find a way to get at the people who maybe haven't upgraded an iPhone in 3 or 4 years, and they're very price sensitive. So they're going to try to find a way to sell you a $600 or even a $500 iPhone that's going to make you happy and make Apple's designers happy, but still be affordable. There's a rumor, italicized rumor, mm-hmm. That they're going to be introducing one of these sort of lower cost iPhones, maybe even in the next month. There's rumors that they're going to be having a media event in Cupertino sometime late this month or early next month. So fingers crossed on that.
Andy Anacco, I always wonder what the temperature is in Cupertino, and I find out just by looking at my phone. All right, I want to ask you right before we go, and I don't want to say her name, but she rhymes with Erie. Keeps going off. I mean, while I'm on the show or I'm talking to other people or whatever it is, how much are these smartphones listening to what we're doing?
Practically nothing. I mean, in terms of when people say listening, they think the microphone, like, are they eavesdropping on your conversations? And the fact of the matter is, it really isn't doing that. The amount of processing power that phone would have to burn up to do that when you're not absolutely needing to use the microphone, the battery would last like 10 seconds. So don't think about that. What you really need to worry about is the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth and the radios in there, because that's how marketing companies figure out where you are, who you're talking to, what you're interested in. That's usually the secret to how they plug this data into all kinds of other pieces of data they collected from you elsewhere and then apply an algorithm to it. A lot of people think that, well, gee, I was just talking about this new like fitness program with my friend yesterday, and today I started getting all these ads for the fitness program. They must be listening to the conversation. No, what happened was, if your friend is really into this fitness program, because of location tracking, it knew that you were at her house. It knew that this person is really into fitness. You both are have kind of into this fitness stuff, and she started using this fitness program. Maybe you talked about it. So that was one of those reasons why it really seems really, really creepy.
Yeah.
But just be assured that it's very, very creepy, but not for the reasons why you thought it was creepy.
That's creepy anyway. I'm still not.
Definitely.
I'm completely in the creep zone. Well, that is fascinating because I know they your phone keeps asking you about accepting a Bluetooth. And I'm like, well, there's no Bluetooth device that I know about near me. Oh, no, no. This app needs a Bluetooth. Well, I'm not in my car. That's the only place I really use Bluetooth. And then it says, no, we need it anyway. So that's what it's about. It's looking for devices. And it's just going to, you know, Andy, we'll talk about this in the future. But, you know, obviously with the real 5G that's going to pop up and the new technology that's going to be available, they're going to know everything there is to know about us. And we're just basically ones and zeros to them. That's all it is. Andy.
Ones and zeros and dollar signs. Don't forget that.
Right. That's true. Ones and zeros and a dollar sign in front of them. Andy and NotGo, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. Boston Public Radio. And he's a tech contributor. And you're in the newspapers, right, still?
I'm just submitting things as I like them to stuff like Fast Company and other kind of websites. If you check out my Twitter, IHNATKO, usually I publicize where I'm writing.
Okay, very good. Andy, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, folks.
Let's check in now with the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here's Kim Gordon.